Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Raise the Vibe. I'm your host, Liz Peterson, and I'm so glad you're joining me this hour. It's so good to be back in the studio creating new content after 2 months of being out, just letting my first 7 shows rerun while we're dealing with this pandemic and social distancing and everything. In the studio, I am so delighted to have Jenny Bell with me today. I love you, Jenny, and thank you so much for joining me today. Welcome to the show. And everybody, I'm guessing this is going to be an enlightening conversation for you today. So welcome, and I hope you stick around.
Thank
Jenny,
you,
welcome.
Love. Yeah, I really appreciate you so much and the opportunity to do this with you. Our conversations are always so much fun.
I love our conversations. And I love the direction that they go and everything that just seems to like come through
totally
like with ease, like flowing from one thing to the next. So hopefully that'll come through for our listeners today.
I hope so too.
Cool. So if there's anybody on Vashon that doesn't know you, why don't you start by describing a little bit about yourself, your history, and who you are today?
I didn't even think that I'd be doing that. So this is like totally fresh.
Surprise question.
Yeah, because many people know me, but in different sectors. So, you know, I've got quite conservative parts of me where I was on the Water District 19 board for quite a period of time, elected to that. So I've got this very science-oriented, but honestly, the water, it all comes under the same theme for me, and that's empowerment and providing ourselves with the fundamentals is a huge aspect of empowerment, whether it's water or whether it's spiritual upliftment, it's the same. So then there's other parts of me that people may not even know about, like I'm a certified yoga instructor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's probably.
I'm going to learn a lot.
I could probably tell you tons of things, Liz, that you didn't know. Mm-hmm. I have an architecture background. I've installed different water systems on the island to provide rainwater harvesting.
Oh, like, fantastic.
Yeah, and geothermal, all under the same thing.
It's awesome.
It's empowerment. It's resilience. Mm-hmm. It's self-sufficiency. It all means the same thing to me. And my occupation right now is building my own house, which I talk a lot
it's
about.
Wonderful.
a lot of people probably know about that. But then there's a massive side of me that is less known, but people know it, I think, through their feel of me and when I talk to them deeply, which I often do. And that is this spiritual aspect of me that really it excites me in a huge way to help people get empowered and empower myself and become that circuit of giving and receiving, which totally occurs with us. And, you know, I'm very mm-hmm. aware of the unity of all things, the connectedness of all things. And that's when we talked about having a conversation, I was at first thinking, gosh, you know, people are so saturated with being told what to do.
Yeah.
And we're in such a time of being told what to do. It's unbearable. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of finger pointing. And the truth of the finger pointing is that there's always 3 fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah.
So what that means is that it's a time of great internal examination. If you're moving through this in a way that's a learning beneficial process.
And the pause button has definitely been pressed for that.
Yes. It's been an incredible advantage in so many ways. Unfortunately, for many, it's a pressure cooker advantage.
Yes.
For many, like, you know, I feel I'm in a very privileged position. Many are suffering enormously under economic duress, the basics of life.
Yeah.
Which I was thinking about that too, like trying to be reachable and with what I say to as many people as possible. But many are struggling with the fundamentals. And when you're in that space of it's increasingly difficult. It's possible, but that's a level of emotional and mental mastery that is not a lot of people on the earth have got.
True. Yeah, when you're in it, it's really hard to step out of it.
Very hard.
Yeah.
Like if you're concerned about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. So I feel privileged in the place that I'm in where I can stop and pause and be even more thoughtful. Then it's, yeah, like it's a great advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm very conscious of that.
Yeah, where everybody's survival buttons are being pushed right now.
Yes, yeah. And I'm certain, like, you know, when a lot of people are going, oh, I could do with some upliftment.
Right.
You know, it's easy to reach for the quick fix, like alcohol or uppers or downers of any sort. So, yeah, this is what got me interested in speaking like today to you. I had a conversation with a friend which totally inspired me.
And I love this. That was going to be my first question.
Yeah. And when I even think of the word inspire, I always see Michael Mead and one of his talks that he did. He's such a wonderful storyteller. And inspire comes from, I believe, the Greek, from spirit, inspiro. It's being inspired, you know, on the vertical channels, as he says, like the tree where you're reaching up, strengthening your vertical connections upwards mm-hmm. and downwards like the roots of a tree. And
doing that helps you stay grounded, balanced and centered in your body as well, if you think about it that way.
Absolutely.
You know, just taking
crucial.
That breath and, you know, rooting yourself down and, you know, being present in your body.
Yeah.
You know, and will take you out of that fight or flight.
Absolutely. Yeah. Grounding, I mean, we could do a whole discussion, a lengthy discussion on grounding.
Yeah.
But to me, it's a very expanded concept where it's not just frequently people say, oh, if you need to get grounded, go out and take your shoes off and touch the earth, which mm-hmm. is excellent. So too is anything that honors the earth, including the honoring of your body, because
yes.
your body is of the earth.
Physical.
Yeah.
It's bringing your soul self or spirit self down within your body and having that true connection instead of just like, ah, I'm panicked, I'm feared, out I go.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And I think I haven't told you the story yet of my friend, but I loved the metaphor that came to me when I was speaking to you about like the ideal way to be dealing with these times of commonly water is seen as emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And often in Eastern medicine, for example, you know, the kidneys are the things that process our emotion. If we're having difficulty processing through emotional issues, our kidneys often have an issue and our bladder. So I had this metaphor when we spoke of being like one of those beautiful boulders that you see embedded in the streams.
Oh, I love this metaphor.
It's giving me shivers mm-hmm. now too. We've got a crystal rock here too. Like if you sit and watch nature, it's the most perfect instructor. Many cultures do that. Mm-hmm. And that's because they know what's going on.
And I loved the idea that you said the other day when we were talking on Zoom about this boulder in the water.
Yes.
So go into that for everybody.
So I see myself as like a large boulder. And I think you said, what if you're a pebble? And it's like, well, you'll be tossed around mm-hmm. and the benefit will be that you'll be ground smooth. All your rough edges will be gone. And you must let go if you're a pebble in the force of massive flow.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the kind of glacial outflow that we get here. You know, it's part of our living environment here. I've surfed the glacial outflows up.
Wow.
I'm a surfer too. and
the
so,
list lengthens.
and so when you watch the power of that water, like the rock, must embed deeply. And that's exactly what we need to do in this time. And if you're watching very closely, you see, you know, the water will fly over the rock. But always there's a little place where there's a peaceful little eddy happening. So if you watch really closely in, you'll see even when the water is raging, there's a little eddy. So that there's places to be in even the wildest torrent that are intensely peaceful. And it's most of your energy should be about being that rock, being that grounded. The other metaphor that came to me connected to this, I was thinking many spiritual people who are particularly oriented towards the upward vertical strengthening,
mm-hmm.
And they tend to be working mostly in the chakras above. So, you know, the danger for that personality type as well is a lack of grounding,
mm-hmm.
and a connecting to, like, at this time, it's funny because the fear contracted response is, well, if I, you know, I'll just be a red balloon and I'll have a really long string attached to the earth and I'll be very, very high up. And but you think about how that balloon can be battered by the winds and by the things of the earth. It's an easier position to connect yourself deeply to the earth and welcome the earth experience that we're having.
Yeah.
Like, so that true. Rock ain't fighting it.
No.
It's all about letting it flow and letting go. Like, if there's some bit of moss that the rock was trying to hold on to and it's being pounded, it's like, it must let it go.
Just surrender and let it go. Yeah. And that rock being planted in the ground, the water rushing around it, you know, you can watch everything rush by.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
And, like, take time if you want to and check it out. What is that? But then again, you don't have to.
No.
You can just focus on holding steady and just allowing things to move around you.
And a really important, it's funny, I think this is really worthwhile spending a lot of time on this metaphor because, well, stories for a start, you know, just as Michael Mead says, different things are released to different people who hear a story. So, you know, this metaphor, I can elaborate what it feels like to me, mm-hmm. but there's a multitude of positions. It could be, has no meaning to me. That's rubbish. All the way through to, oh, wow, I can see so much coming off that picture or that story. So, yeah, the other story that I wanted to tell you was the inspiration about coming and speaking.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So when people have been saying, how are you going? I've been going, I feel wonderful about the things that are within my control.
Right.
They're magnificent. And I said that to a friend and very intelligent person. She was wearing a mask and she was like, within your control? What is within your control? Like, it really, I could see that she was struggling to find a sense of anything within her control.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's where I can tell a story that may be of use to some people. And so that was kind of the theme that I'm coming to you today with, that question.
Wonderful. So when she asked you, you know, what is it? You know, what is in my control?
Well, I'm going to start again with another really powerful metaphor that happened just recently. And I think it kind of covers it again. So the rock is one good metaphor. Grounding is within your control. being centered like the rock. But it's so connected to this time. Like, we've also got the spring happening, which we have a very visceral response to spring.
We do.
We're awakening. And for me, it's been a time of like, you're like, yay, but it's also been, there's been an ego surge aspect in this time because of the stillness and like, I have to do something.
Right.
Which is not always spirit-led, and it can be very difficult to discern.
Yeah, especially when your ego is acting like a two-year-old that just wants to lash out at everybody.
Exactly.
And you're like, shh, quiet.
Yeah.
We don't want to do that.
I had a nice picture that my energy healer gave me today, and he said, you know, about the strictness that you have to have with your ego. He said, your ego's like a beautiful little puppy that's just arrived, and you've got this lovely off-white carpet and you've got a toilet train.
Oh, boy.
Puppy. So you've got to be onto it, and there's no way that you can afford a mistake because this is an off-white carpet. So, I was like, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
But the story that leads me into a fuller understanding of what you have control over is the spring is springing, and all the animals know it, and all the plants and the earth itself comes to life, and there's like a vigor that's so evident. And I was doing things, and I can hear this robin full of its reproductive verve.
Right.
Throwing itself against the window, like repeatedly, and I'm sending it, going, it's a window, like you're not going to get through it. There's nothing there. And so I thought, I'm going to come up to the window, and like be in the window, and say, Robin, look through the window. I'm here, and I'm saying, stop attacking your reflection. Stop attacking your reflection. And in the middle of saying this, I'm going, I don't want you to hurt yourself.
Right.
And I suddenly realized that that's exactly our soul speaking to our ego. And I was.
Because the ego can be so destructive.
Yes.
If you're just constantly reacting out of it.
Exactly.
And not taking a pause to listen and go, maybe not.
Exactly, the reactive space and just totally flight or fright driven. And so he continued, and I was like, oh, this must be what it's like for the higher dimensions too, like seeing what's going on for us. And like
having to allow free will and not being able to step in and go up.
Exactly.
You're being a human right now.
Exactly.
So, oh, look at the lessons she's learning right now.
So, and you know, that is what the indigenous people have known for a long time. Watch nature. And it is such a powerful teacher. She is such a powerful teacher.
Yeah.
All the aspects. And we are of nature. So.
Have you noticed how alive nature is right now?
It
does. How wonderful is it's cleaner and brighter, and the birds are louder, and it seems. And everything's very active and creative right now.
Yes, which usually is, it's almost always a reflection of our place too, like where we are.
And so, you can see it.
Yes, exactly. So we've already introduced these concepts of, you know, free will universe.
Mm-hmm.
That bird is acting just like we can have the choice to do, to keep throwing ourselves against the window. We can examine our belief structures. I feel like belief structures are at the crux of this.
Yes.
And that the more flexible we can be with our beliefs, the better.
Right.
And what I've been saying for a number of years, my own personal mantra is, beliefs are things that give me comfort. So I choose those beliefs that work for me.
Right.
And I'm very aware that it's completely flexible, because I know enough from my own studying of my own life that our beliefs change all the time.
Right.
So to look towards misery due to a belief structure, if we can free ourselves from that, it frees us enormously.
Do you have some examples of some belief systems that people might be holding on to right now that are keeping them like that robin?
Oh, yeah. Know? Oh, yeah. The biggest. Okay. The first point to make about the control aspect. So yeah. I have no control over anything. Control over what is the first question. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Questions, many people at this time are so holding on to beliefs mm-hmm. that even questions are dangerous. And there's a high level of self-censorship. Don't talk about that. Other people don't want to hear about that. It's contracted position instead of expanded.
Right.
So asking yourself the question, what is it that I seek control over? So it's very clear if you respond to the things I have control over are wonderful and the response is I have no control, you believe you have no control over anything. And it's common to have this a lot of anger attached to that. Because it's fundamentally a belief in yourself as a victim.
Yes.
It's a victim position where it's actually founded on a belief in an aspiration towards controlling others. Because if you feel you have no control right now, it's because you feel you don't have any control over what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And people might say, oh, well, you know, I'm having things forced upon me. Well, that is a belief. If you give your power away to others, that's what it looks like. And empowerment is so important right now. Where you put your energy, do not put your energy into a black hole of life being, see, the way I said do not, I don't like, I got like a correction.
Okay, go ahead.
We can choose.
Nice.
Do not. We can choose to use better language.
Yeah.
We can choose to not follow our programming of being a victim.
And we can choose when we do see something that might trigger, okay, that's taking away my choice. Like, I only have this little bitty hole now at the recycling station because they're trying to encourage just one person at a time, you know, instead of the perspective of that, you know, I don't have any control over that anymore. I'm speaking from personal experience here. When I went to the recycling station the other day, I really had to change my perspective. Okay, this is trying to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. They're not really taking anything away from me. I can still go to the recycling station and put my things in this little hole, you know, in the container, you know, and just changing the perspective. I have control over that. I can still go to the recycling. I can still do my recycling.
Yes.
It's just in a different new way. And of course, we don't like change. And when we see change, it triggers things inside of us, you know, where we feel like maybe our freedoms are being taken away or something like that in this situation, right?
Yeah.
And speak a little bit more about that.
The way you just described it was very interesting too, because there's different levels in this perception modification.
Yeah.
So the first level, you're at least giving yourself a softening. Instead of contracting, you've expanded to allow the potential of something else to come into your view. So, and you can feel it in your body. Your body tells you, you know. One of the things that came out to me this morning before I was like inspired
right.
was, what if life was like a yoga? What if life was like yoga? And when we meet resistance, we soften, we breathe, we lengthen our musculature, our body, we expand. We don't treat we call something a sensation in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
It's seen, we do not really say pain, we say discomfort.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what is this discomfort teaching me? Then this thing becomes this incredible teaching moment, which is like, wow, these circumstances have created this beautiful teaching moment for me about what is of great importance to me, what makes my heart sing, what will I fight for,
mm-hmm.
what creative energies can I apply in order to shift this towards something that reflects my desires, what makes my heart sing, what makes my heart light. So for many, they might go, well, you know, when I'm angry and I feel something's taken away from me, it's very hard to access. True. But over time, just like yoga, when you hit that same wheel in yoga, as you know, we tend to hit a certain spot repeatedly.
Yeah.
It's almost always in our hips because our hips hold fear and anxiety. And you come to that place of resistance. And instead of meeting it with this, you meet it with this.
Yeah, openness.
Yeah. And as you progress through, what you're actually doing in yoga is transformation of the physical, mental, physical, etheric,
mm-hmm.
mental, and spiritual bodies. So,
And transforming that discomfort.
Yeah. And
that could transfer beautifully to right now.
Exactly.
You know, how do you work with that discomfort
yes.
in your body that you're feeling?
And what do you call that discomfort? Our programming, honestly, is very oriented towards victim. And many people have theories as to why that's occurring, but it certainly does benefit a limited few with things like increased consumption associated with fear, increased division and separation between all members of society
mm-hmm.
is very helpful if you want to keep people under control. So empowerment is the most powerful political action you can do.
Yes.
Political actually comes from the term polis, from the Greek of the people.
Cool.
That's what a political action is. And so beginning, I wasn't even going to focus on politics, but I'm going.
Go.
So the internal work that we do on self-control, which is the and self-mastery, is the most powerful action. And many have the view, and I have the belief, that we have extraordinary potentials that are largely untapped at this point, but we are rapidly tapping into them. And it's a very exciting time for many. That's how
very
I
exciting.
Feel.
Yeah, it is. I yeah. agree.
And so
there's so many possibilities.
Yes. And I think I'm talking a lot about words, which I like to, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, the word, many people are saying apocalyptic or, and again, the derivation of the word apocalypse is, it means in Greek, the great unveiling.
Mm.
The great, so.
So the great unveiling for the people.
Yeah.
Here we go. You know, and what are we going to derive, you know, out of that, you know, this pause in time right now?
Yes.
And what perspectives, you know, can we have about it and of ourselves or, you know, just working with our belief systems, like you said.
Yeah.
Around it.
And we are the ones who either limit ourselves or choose to expand. We are absolutely in control of that. So I think I covered most of the control. Just get my notes here.
Sure.
It's very common for people to want to have control over their neighbors, friends, family, acquaintances. This is not the business of the soul.
No, because it takes away free will.
Yes. It's not contributing to, it's not honoring the sacred free will of all the beings around you.
Right.
And their choices too. Also control over political figures.
Mm.
very common to be focusing attention there. And honestly, I see a repetition and an enunciation of it's a parent archetype. And it's the failure of, or a belief in the failure of a parent.
Mm.
And I believe that this is a time for moving out of the teenage anger.
Yeah.
Into the empowered adult role.
Right.
That we are made for.
Yes.
That we are built for.
So how do we take this emotionally mature adult that we have living inside of us and set aside all of the things that our neighbors are doing and the politicians are doing that we don't like and those patterns that are repeating, you know, in society, and come back to what we have control over in our lives? Like, what would you say to that friend, you know, again?
You know,
what do I have
control
over? Uh-huh.
Well, one of the most important things, if you feel that, like, when I get excited about stuff, I want to share it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I love that.
The sharing doesn't always is not wanted on the other end. So one of the things you have to begin with is, and we do that as empathic people, you know, highly sensitive people. You'd be doing a different talk for different groups of people too.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first things you want to do is really feel the energy and see if this is an opportunity to give. And remember, you're receiving. It's a circuit. So
right.
not doing harm to others is the first. Do no harm to others is the first rule for healers. If your words are not welcome, no bueno.
Yeah.
Be in your space of love. Be in, but if there is room to share the story, just like we're doing now, it's a conversation. Sometimes people, there is a space where people want you to like list things out to assist them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, often when I'm talking to people, I hear their story and then, like, I try to listen very deeply and then reflect back to them what I hear them saying that they actually want.
Right.
And people are often not aware of that. And then they can feel like it's very, you know, prophetic or intuitive, but all that I actually did was listen very deeply. So I guess I'm talking about a service to others perspective here too. So what can we do for ourselves was your beginning question.
Yeah.
So, and that's the perfect question, because it's way more about going internal right now than focus on the external. So, and that is where the power is. That's why that metaphor of the rock is perfect. And that position of neutrality. Honestly, like, I see what's actually happening in an energetic picture as like this maelstrom of energy swirling around. And if you put your arm out into it, and if you try to have a direction, like, you should go there, your arm's going to be ripped off.
Yeah.
So keep totally centered. Okay, so control over emotions. That's not actually how I'd put it.
And it could be even, you know, like, I have control on how I wake up and what I do after I wake up. I don't have to touch the phone. I don't have to look at it. I can take 15 or 20 minutes just to let my mind wander and be creative and have some tea.
Precisely. You know? Yeah.
I can choose what I want to think about.
Yes.
You know, and not give over my thoughts to this, that, and the other.
Yes.
You know, have relationship with something that's not even within my home.
Yep. Right? That's a beautiful yes. summary. I believe we have complete control over our inputs and our outputs.
Yes. Talk a little bit more about that, because I liked that when you yeah. brought that up.
So there's a multitude of ways that you can approach this. So this is like my preferred structure. We're really fortunate in this generation that we have many, many ways that we can essentially feel good. My philosophy is the feel-good path. So if you're heading towards angst, stop, breathe, do yoga in order to understand. And the yoga, doing yoga is to consider other possibilities mm-hmm. and choose expansion over contraction, which is the energy of love. Fear is literally contraction, and that's reflected in your body. So
yes.
So the inputs into your body, so mastery of self is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Basically, your mastery of self means that you're no longer giving away energy to black holes. It comes down to energy paradigms, and it's about where you're focusing your attention. It's about minimizing distraction. Mm-hmm. It's about making choices that you are very clear are your choices and not out of a victim paradigm, where you feel you've being controlled externally. So you increasingly move into this place of an understanding that that is real, that the other part is illusion. It's illusion that we give away. It's on the basis of illusion that we give our power to others. It's not real.
Right.
So,
and that comes down to choices as well.
Yes.
You know, are we going to sit, you know, and allow life to happen to us? Or are we going to have a voice, an action to, you know, create our life instead?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the benefits are enormous.
Yes.
It's a very different way of being, and it has the potential to, I believe, we can get to a place of infinite energy. So when you hear about certain avatars and advanced spiritual people, they had the ability to almost move through the world without ever even having to sleep, like for very short periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's completely doable, because I know at different times in my life when I've been fully engaged, you have infinite boundless energy, and it's when it's given away to like an emotional black hole or a mental black hole that suddenly you're in the deficit paradigm, you're
right.
in scarcity instead of in the truth of abundance. A lot of this is Jedi mind trick.
Well, a lot of it is choice, though.
Yes.
You know, allow yourself, you know, to be in a draining situation that takes your energy and depletes you, or choosing to be in a creative energy where you're excited and you're motivated and the energy is just pouring through you, and you could like work all night because
yes.
you're working on your house or, you know, something like that.
Exactly. And one of the key things to unlocking that potential is being body aware. So, and that's another reason why yoga's been so marvelous for me, because and meditation,
mm-hmm.
You become intensely aware of the language of your body, speaking to your body, and it's a completely different way of being. Again, our programming in our society is, oh, pain, painkiller.
Yeah.
There's not even a question. Is it discomfort or is it pain? Are you just mm-hmm. feeling a sensation? Or it's like, shut it down, lock it down. And that's a very disempowering place. Now, again, I'm speaking from my own experience, and I can here, there could be a torrent of people going, well, you've never had extreme pain or whatever. It's like everyone has different paths.
Right.
And everyone has different teachers. And the stillness that comes with chronic pain the experience that's being had by people who may be completely immobilized, we don't know.
And you only know if you experience yourself. But it can go back to those questions that you had brought up earlier in the conversation, you know, asking the questions.
Yes, and not being afraid to ask and try reframe and move towards energies that inspire you, you know, like we have conversations that be drawn to that which uplifts you. If you want to feel more joy, if you find yourself continually drawn to the addictive patternings of negativity, the result will, what do they say? The definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Yes.
So, and I think we have a lot of that madness. I know I do. I do.
Right?
You do the same thing over and over.
Yeah. And right now we have to create places, you know, outside of the stress where we can bring those inputs. You had sent me something, a video, and I watched, and there was a woman that pointed out an interesting study around stress. And they tested the immunity, you know, in the body, and then showed the beautiful pictures, and their immunity, you know, went up,
lifted,
skyrocketed, right?
Vital.
And then, you know, they showed them the sad pictures and the stressful stuff, and it just plummeted.
Yeah.
Like, what did she say? Like 60%.
Yeah.
It decreased. So if we think about our immunity right now as input.
Yes.
Like you were saying, you know, and not focusing on that stress. Yes, we have to tap into it so we know.
Yes.
You know, but we can go, okay, that's happening, but I can choose, you know, even though this is happening right now, you know, I can choose this in my garden or going for a walk in the sunshine or feeding my body good organic food or drinking healthy water.
Yeah.
You know, like we were talking about the other day.
And you know, a great source for that, who we both like a lot, is Bruce Lipton, Biology of Belief. And just very quickly, like on the fear thing, where it takes your body is literally your body goes fear, flight, fright. I've got to send all the energy to the extremities so I can run. And that's not meant to be a long-term solution. And yet in our society, increasingly the stresses, the inputs that we allow into our body, because we do, like movies are very hammer, most of them now. A lot of the music can be like that too.
And our brain doesn't know the difference.
No, and people can be like that too. Nature is an incredible healer. I'll just keep going back to
yes.
Yeah, nature's an amazing healer. Be aware that you are making a lot of choices about where you're placing your attention and what inputs are resulting, and the basics of understanding that feelings beget thoughts, beget actions, beget physicality.
Yeah.
And which is a very empowering mantra too, and like the interconnectedness of all things. If I feel sad for others, work more on myself. Our energies definitely impact the greater, and our potentials are enormous. I totally believe
yes.
that.
I think so too. So what about the micro and the macro perspectives, you know, of this input and output, you know, in all the bodies, you know?
So if you're looking at from an energy healer's perspective or yoga, there's a division normally between the etheric physical bodies. The etheric includes the chakras, the nadis, and the aura. And then we have the mental bodies, and I'm blanking on the third. the mental, the emotional, and the physical.
Yes.
So mastery of the inputs and outputs into all those bodies, and they're all interconnected. I can do a quick summary, really, because, for example, what people really need now physically, there's a very common thing is depletion of magnesium,
mm-hmm.
Because anxiety is sucking magnesium out of our body. So we need extra doses of magnesium. Yeah. Leafy greens support our emotional health and well-being.
Also have magnesium in them. And they can help you sleep.
Yes. Yeah. And access to things nature, like nettles. I think, were we talking about
Yes,
nettles?
We were talking about nettles because nettles are all the rage right now. And you've harvested, so you should see her bag of nettles. It's huge. It's via Zoom.
As big as my head.
It, right? And how fascinating it was, how everybody's being drawn to harvesting nettles, and nettles have to do with healing the lungs.
Yes.
So fascinating.
Yeah. So once we start to move away from that flight fright and start to move into a more grounded place,
mm-hmm.
we're making much better decisions for ourselves that are increasing our capacity to make even better decisions.
Right.
It's kind of back to the basics in many ways.
And it's very intuitive.
Yes. And then your third eye opens even more. And mm-hmm. things become even more expanded.
Yeah. And if we're stepping away from Netflix and our phone for a while, our minds do open up and we do start getting these creative ideas and intuitions and guidance.
Yeah. And another thing on my perspective, I believe that you can, and it's actually powerful to have inputs that you know are not conducive to your vibe, but they're very instructive. And they assist you to understand where others are coming from. It's like, wow, if I was on a diet of sugar and intense kill movies, I'd be pretty jacked up too.
Right? And asking, why am I not sleeping tonight?
So it really, I believe strongly in integration, not... like a lot of people do, like mantras to push things out, or you know, affirmations that are about. Mine's about integration learning, and that to me is where we're moving towards the unity consciousness position.
Yeah, and it's way better to, instead of putting out all those things outside of ourselves, because where are they going if we're just setting them outside of ourselves? No, bring them in. Side and integrate them within yourself. You know, you might have to do a little work around them, you know, but better to integrate than to sit outside of ourselves and wait for it to pop up again when we come around the spiral, right?
Yes. And it's a polarity position, which my favorite poem that I wanted to share with you that kind of explains it exactly is that Rumi poem, Out Beyond Wrongdoing and Right Doing. There is a field. Then it's I'll meet you there.
I'll meet you there.
When our souls lie down in that long grass, the world is so full. Something like there's nothing to think about but the fullness of the world.
Love that.
And that to me is a description of moving out of polarity. Where you've got everyone on different sides of an imaginary fence.
Right.
Where people are separated and disempowered. Instead, we're all in that shared space. And that's a wonderful place to begin in terms of facilitating an expanded view. If you find yourself as, you know, even last week this happened to me. I had an ego surge. And I was like, wow, what's the summary of what I'm feeling? And it was, I am intolerant of intolerance. It's like, whoa.
And this is a great segue into what you were speaking about output. Like, what are we outputting to others?
Yeah. So it's evident to everyone that you come in contact with what you're putting out.
Yes.
Sometimes you may get a bad reaction and it's actually nothing to do with you. actually, I would say most of the time it's actually got nothing to do with you, mm-hmm. good or bad.
Yes.
It's actually, it makes more sense to me that we're all actually having our own subjective experiences. And but I do believe that there's energy transfers, and if people, because we can either open up or shut down to particular energies, and we can welcome in some energies and push out others. So the outputs, if we can look at everything with love, everything, beginning with ourselves particularly, like if we're triggered by others and their actions and behaviours, that to me, it's the boomerang, like I was saying earlier. It's an opportunity to be examining issues that are affecting our own self-love. And it's very, very specific. So whatever we're triggered by, it's an incredible instructor for our own self-love. It's like, how can I give myself more self-love in particular for, like, for example, with my intolerance?
Yeah.
It's like, how can I love myself more about, well, it's like that puppy on the carpet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And another image that was given to me that was very powerful was my inner child was like saying, let me drive the car.
Yeah.
I know exactly what to do. And it's like, your feet don't even reach the pedals. And there's no way, there's not enough cushions in the universe that are going to be enough to get you to actually see over the dashboard.
Right.
Little one. So you can't let your ego drive the car.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So what are things that we can do to reduce, you know, stress at this time as we're thinking about those inputs and outputs?
Consider where you're focusing your attention and what you're drawing towards you as a creator. We are all creators. I think that the laws of attraction are very real. So if you want to consider a different point of view than someone is doing something to me, and you want to consider the empowered alternative, there's a vast number of ways to increase the quality of your inputs and the quality of your outputs more in alignment with what you actually want.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us are at the stage of working out what we actually want.
Yes.
And
I think a lot of people are figuring out during this time.
Yes.
Okay, what are my priorities? What are my values?
What are my addictions?
What are my addictions? Continue.
What are my habituations? How am I having patterned responses instead of genuine, highly present moments? The other thing that I wanted to share with you, I don't know how much time we've got left.
We have about 5 minutes.
Oh, well, I'll just introduce this.
It's flying by.
Yeah.
Oh, great information.
Because I thought, wow, I would love to do more on this one. And this was something that I think particularly for you, because I know that you're into yoga. Because this came to me this morning, and it was regarding the different ways you can be put into the concept of, it's called guna. There's three basic personality types. Sattva, have you heard of this?
Yes.
Sattva, rajas,
mm-hmm.
and tamasic.
Yes.
So, and there's a very powerful, I don't know if you can attach websites to this too, but.
No, but we can say what the URL is.
Yeah.
So people can search it out. And it's also three of them in the Raja Yoga technique that Yogananda, you know, teaches. I did a class over at East West Bookshop around that, and this is in the book.
Yes.
It's amazing. You know, a great way to look at things. Our environment, our body, everything.
It was what came to me this morning particularly that took my breath away, and I thought I have to share this today with you.
Yes, please.
So I was just going to find the URL for people.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. It's modhsk.blogspot.com. And I think it's a guy who's actually done like a doctoral thesis. Indian
fellow. Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's, so there's a lot of scientific processes behind exploring these concepts too. So the basic differences between the sattvic, rajasic and tamasic point of view. Sattvic, fundamentally, the metaphors that he give is when you're sattvic, life is like driving the car with the power steering and power brakes.
Yeah.
When you're rajasic, it's like driving the car with no brakes. And when you're tamasic, it's like driving the car with the brakes on. So to describe that more, sattvic, driving with power steering and power brakes, your will is controlling your desires. Or for others, you would describe it as your soul or your spirit. You're doing spirit-led life.
Mm-hmm.
You're working in harmony with the environment. Creativeness is the key feature of sattvic people. Hardworking, conscientious, efficient, systematic, respect for others, calmness with quiet confidence, dependable, living in the present. Okay, versus rajasic, energetic, restless, aggressive, organizes the people to work together. Strength is the key feature of rajasic people. Now, I'd rather say rajasic aspects because we get to choose whether we want to be these things.
Right, and there's positive and negative for all of them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They tend to be the control freak, energetic doer, take charge, love to coordinate and supervise people. They risk burning out, hypersensitive, tendency for emotional outburst, or withdrawn and depressed. Summary, hurry and worry. They're often looked as an achiever. They're steamrollers, rolling relentlessly over any obstacle in their way. These are energy depleting ways of being mm-hmm. that appear to be powerful, but it's actually no brakes on that car, baby.
Yep.
Tamasic loves to work hard, inertia when they lose interest in the activity, more concerned with what's going on in their head than what's happening around. I don't care what happens to anybody, including myself. Like driving with the brakes on. So give me power steering and power brakes.
Yes. And with this and everything that we've discussed today, is there anything that you would like to, you know, end with to summarize, you know, for everyone today?
Let me see. What if life was like a yoga class?
Right?
What if things that we saw as resistance are recognized as our greatest teachers? What if pain is an incredible teacher that becomes more discomfort? What if we become our true, fully empowered selves whose potentials are beyond our imaginings? Well, they're not really, like, as far as I can imagine. That's how far I'd like to go.
Yes, that's awesome.
Dwell in possibilities, Emily Dickinson.
Sweet. Thank you so much, Jenny, for joining me today. This has been a fantastic interview, and I hope everybody, you know, got just that little nugget in there. There's so much to unwrap. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you,
this conversation.
You know, I really, I'm so grateful for you and your energy and your openness and willingness to receive and give with such abundance.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining me today. I'm Liz Peterson on Raise the Vibe. This is KVSH 101.9 FM. Have a great day, everybody. Remember to get out there and raise the vibe.